Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It really is a great pleasure and a privilege to be back here with you in Lisburn Cathedral this year. It's hard to believe it's a year already since I was last here with you. Good. And time seems to fly by, and the years seem to go by quicker and quicker. But it really is great to be back with you and standing before you this morning here, and to be able to share with you all about what the Lord has allowed us to be part of in Burkina Faso over this last year, and to be able to hopefully show you how your prayers have been answered for us and for the ministry that we've been involved in. I know many of you have been faithful in prayer for this work and for my family, and for that I give you great thanks. Maybe some of you, however, are here this morning and you haven't heard me speak before here, or you aren't sure who Friends in Action are. So let me just start by giving you a quick reminder of who we are. So we're Friends in Action, a mission organization that started life in Lisburn, based in Lisburn, and has reached out from Lisburn to far-flung corners of the earth. And in particular this morning we're thinking about West Africa and a water well drilling ministry that I'm looking after in Burkina Faso and some other countries around Burkina that we'll share about shortly. But our whole purpose and our aim is to accelerate the process of taking the gospel to those who've never had opportunity. The opportunities we've had on a regular basis, Sunday by Sunday, to hear the good news of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Many still haven't had that opportunity. And we want to demonstrate Christ's love to them in a practical way through the giving of a cup of water, through the drilling of water wells, and provision of opportunity for national workers to share Christ with these people. So that's what hopefully you'll be hearing about this morning. Thank you for reading this morning, Psalm 91. And I just want to start there before I delve into the work, because this psalm has been of a great blessing, a great encouragement to my family. I think last time I was here, I shared with you Psalm 121, and my children have been learning that psalm. This year, they've been learning Psalm 91. And with all that's been going on in West Africa, all of the challenges, all of the very scary and frightening things going on there that we could think about, and I'll be sharing about some of those things this morning, it has been a great psalm of encouragement and blessing to us. And to hear my children reciting that psalm each evening, most evenings, and to know that they have that and that they understand that has been a great encouragement to my wife and I. Hopefully they'll be here and you might catch them just at the end of this service as they come in for the next one. If you see them, say hello. But Psalm 91, just to read a couple of verses again, starting in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Where is your trust today? Where do you run to hide when challenges, difficult times come? Maybe when health challenges come, financial challenges come, family issues come. Where do you run to? Where do you go? Where is your trust? Is your trust in your God and your Saviour? No better place to have your trust. Many trust in bank accounts, many trust in big homes, many trust in cars even, and or in good friends. All of those will fail you at some point, or may let you down at some point. But God, if you love God, if your trust is in God, He will never fail you. I hope you'll see as I share about the work in Burkina, that your prayers have supported and encouraged us through difficult times, and that our trust has been in God, and that He has, as He has promised in His word, He has protected us, He has been our fortress, He has been those wings under which we have been able to find shelter. And we're really thankful just to be here, safe and sound as a family in one piece this year, after all that has gone on in Burkina. Maybe just a quick reminder, Burkina Faso, where is it? I don't have a little pointer. I'm not sure if there is one back there, but that might be useful as we move on. Burkina Faso, right in the middle of that slide, it's a landlocked country, about 17 or 18 million people, just to the north of Ghana there, to the north of Ivory Coast, you might see, and Nigeria, just off to the southeast. Mali, Niger, other countries. The Sahara Desert comes down to the north of Burkina Faso. It is hot, it is dry, it is dusty. And if you see me shaking this morning, it's just the temperature change since Wednesday. It has dropped from 44 degrees centigrade to I don't know what it is in here this morning, but it's certainly not 44. Thank you very much. That's great. Yes. So here we are, Burkina Faso. Yeah, a lot cooler here, we're really enjoying that. It was nice to step off the plane in Dublin, actually, and just that cool breeze. When you arrive in Burkina and you get off the plane, the air conditioning in the plane has kept you nice and cool, and when they open that door, it just feels wrong to step outside and for the temperature to be nearly twice what it was inside the plane. Burkina, however, is a country that has been suffering greatly. I'm sure many of you are aware of just how, unfortunately, extremists, militants, terrorists have started to conduct attacks and operate in Burkina Faso over the last few years. And just this last year, there have been just a list here, attacks on Burkina's military who have done what they can with the resources they have and are doing what they can, but they need a lot of assistance from outside if they are to deal with the problem of terrorism and threat of terrorism in their country. We've seen, unfortunately, more kidnappings in the country. We've seen an increase in ethnic division conflict, great tension existing between people groups, in particular the Mosi, who would be the majority in the country, and the Fulani, who would be the nomadic herdsmen that many of you, I'm sure, would be familiar with or have heard of. And there have been attacks by the Fulani, who are seen to be supporting of the terrorists, on the Mosi, and there have been counterattacks by Mosi and a group they have formed, a paramilitary group called the Kogli Wiogo, on the Fulani, and that has been very, very hard on the country. And that's one means by which terrorists are trying to divide and increase the conflict and tension. In the last 7 or 8 weeks, unfortunately, we've seen attacks on churches. That's a recent development, so not only are they trying to divide people groups, there are 70 or so people groups in the country, but the two main ones are the ones that terrorists have targeted to try and divide. But we've seen attacks on churches, maybe 4 attacks on churches even in the last 4 or 5 weeks. Mob violence. We've even seen executions in the north of the country, and attacks on NGOs and development workers. And closer to home for us, even in the last 6 months, there have been 3 drilling crews, 3 drilling teams that have been attacked as they have worked. And that's simply because they're seen to be supportive of development work, which terrorists and people in the north don't want. These things from the government's hand. They want their own land, they want their own control, and so they have seen this as a government activity and have attacked. Even one drilling rig has been stolen, a crew was kidnapped, and that's been very difficult to work in the field of development in Burkina Faso. Last year, I think I shared with you a little bit about attacks that have been going on since the end of 2015, when there was a change of government in the country. And in 2016, this is just a little map that shows these dots represent attacks that happened, terrorist attacks that happened in 2016. The next map shows the attacks that happened in 2017. You can see the intensification, the increase in numbers stretching along that northern border. This line is the border with Mali. There are a lot more attacks just over the border in Mali as well, but this is just Burkina. And then in 2018, you can see the attacks in the north again, and they've spread down the eastern side of Burkina Faso, and in that southeast corner that would actually move over towards Nigeria's direction. So you have Boko Haram and ISIS in that southeast corner, and you have Al-Qaeda, AQIM, Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb in the northern group, and three or four other terrorist organizations operating in those areas. And really, there's a corridor now joining the southeast with the north, and it's becoming an increasing problem and a threat to Burkina. What you're looking at here now is just the attacks recorded in April 2019. So now we're almost bang up to date here. I haven't got the graph for May yet, but you can see the attacks and incidents across the country just for the month of April. And jihadist activity in red, military activity in blue, militia activity in yellow, and a number of other actors involved as well. But Burkina needs your prayers. And all of those attacks, we can't possibly go through them all in detail. So many. And so many people being impacted by these attacks. But here is one example. This is just from a few weeks ago. This is an Assemblies of God church in the northwest of the country that was attacked. And you can see just that the church had its entrance pulled down here. And you can see the windows. It's just concrete and steel. And the steel windows have been pulled out of the building. And those attacks, unfortunately, there have been attacks on churches while they've been meeting in the north. Six people fellowshipping together were pulled out and killed just outside the church. Another one, four people pulled out and killed. A priest working in a church, in a Catholic church up north, he was actually taken away and he was hung from a tree. Many tragedies ongoing in the north and the east in particular, in Burkina Faso. I'm not sure my eyesight is going to hold up to this. what is being said there, that's a BBC. Burkina Faso has been below the interests, in a sense, of the Western world and their media for some time, but more recently started its name, the country Burkina has started appearing in the mainstream media. And this report was from the BBC, and it talks about just the influence of the attacks on schooling and normal day-to-day activities. And that map that you can see, the darker purple areas are places where schools have had to close. Jihadists or terrorists are coming in and saying, you must close your school. This is your final warning. We will not accept you teaching in French. You must teach in Arabic. Next time we come back, you're finished. So there are 1,000 or so schools, and that number is increasing on a daily basis. But when this report was written, 1,000 schools in the north have been forced to close recently, affecting more than 150,000 children. And we're also up to about, I think the figure is 17,000 displaced peoples. I won't take time to go through these, but if you go and do a little bit of a search, you can read about the attacks. They're on a regular basis, large attacks on a regular basis. Many people suffering. And Out of all of them, I would draw your mind back to Amy Riddering, who's on your left there. Her husband Mike, my good friend, as you will remember, was killed in the attacks in January 2016. Amy is still pressing on with the work in Yako, having to come and go from Yako now, because it's about 100 kilometres north of Ouagadougou. There are no missionaries that I know of that are outside on the northern side of Ouagadougou now. It is just not safe to be there. We're all having to operate from Ouagadougou and try and reach out from there. Ken and Jocelyn. Jocelyn came back to Burkina a few months ago, and we were able to spend time with her, and she was trying to continue to plead for her husband's release, Ken, who was kidnapped back in January of 16. Ken's now 83, 84 possibly years old, and Lord willing, still alive, and most likely having to patch up the injuries of terrorists. He was a surgeon, a well-known surgeon for 44 years in the north of Burkina Faso. We drilled wells around the hospital where he worked, but he was kidnapped back in January 16 and is sorely missed. Please continue to pray for Amy and to pray for both Ken and Jocelyn. We are pressing on with our work as best we can. The need is still huge, and this picture you have seen before. People still drink water and go to holes in the ground like this for their water on a daily basis. We have our same strategy, trying to reach people with the gospel and with a cup of water in Christ's name. We can't go, however, quite simply because I'm a foreigner, I'm a target. I cannot take my drilling rig and a crew of volunteers north of Ouagadougou. It's just not possible at this time because of the threat to foreigners. So we've changed. We have that same strategy, that same desire to reach these people. But how we actually do that, our tactics have had to change a little bit. We do drill ourselves and continue to drill ourselves where we can safely and where we can have security support us to do that. And that's mainly been in and around the greater Ouagadougou area this last year. Within about 40 kilometres of the city is all we've been able to work in ourselves with volunteers. So we've started to train nationals to support our work in our ministry. They can go to places that we cannot go to. They can go safely where we cannot go. So we've been training them up in surveying, training them in drilling, site management, looking after contractors, contract management, reporting works, pump testing, pump installation work, water sampling, and water testing work as well. Supporting them also in working with the national pastors in evangelism, providing materials to them like radios, Bible radios, various types of literature and an assortment of languages. But that's been a real challenge for me this last year. My French is just about manageable, but trying to train people and to send people and support people in French to work in French over WhatsApp. WhatsApp's great these days. It's all over Burkina as well. So I get photos of drill sites, photos of little rock samples sent to me by WhatsApp, and we're communicating by WhatsApp to support the work as they move forward. Providing training courses in French has been a challenge, so I'll ask for your prayer in that area as well. Here's a couple of my students, Emmanuel on the left and Samuel on the right, one Ivorian and one Burkinabe. And these young men I've worked with for years, but now they're having to step up a little bit more, take on more work, more responsibility, and they're doing that admirably. Please pray for these young men. So they're being trained, as I say, in how to survey. Let's get through these. How to manage work on sites. Working with contractors. I'm sure some of you here, even managing contractors here can be fun sometimes, present as challenges. In West Africa, very interesting and challenging at times. But here you can see on the right what that is that's the cuttings from a borehole as we've drilled all the rock samples, so I can see what's going on and watch meter by meter from a place of safety and tell them how to construct and design the well. They do their pump testing which is always a fun part. We put an electric pump in the well, we pump out the water, and when the people realise there's free water coming out of a pipe and they don't have to pump it or run away and get it and it's nice and clean, they all come running. And so they get to fill these buckets, but we're doing a little test and you can see a graph there. This is one of the graphs that they now do in the field, and they send it again by WhatsApp and I can tell them, okay, let's put the pump in at this depth. The well's performing like that. So delivering materials to sites is fun. So what you can see here is this is the pipe work and the pump heads for, I think, probably 6 or 7 boreholes. And what you're looking at there is something you won't see on the streets in Northern Ireland. That's a 150cc motorcycle with a pickup truck built on the back of it, basically. And those things, they just tootle along and they go for miles over these bumpy roads and deliver our pumps out to the sites where the wells have been drilled. So we're having to get creative on delivering materials and keeping a lower profile as well. And here we have two more of our students. It's Emmanuel again, actually, in Lambert. They're doing the concrete work around a wellhead and getting ready to install a pump, which is shown in the picture there. That's one of our pumps, our hand pumps. They also help to support the people and train the people how to look after their pumps and make sure that it's a sustainable water supply. We have here one of the national pastors taking the opportunity where a well was drilled to share God's word. The machinery rolls in, the people come out to see what's going on, and the pastor, what an opportunity, has hundreds of people quite often there, waiting to hear why these people have come, why this water is being provided, what is it all about. Here's one village, and this is a typical shot of a village called Canchari. You can see the homes, you can see how barren looking these places are. And in this village, actually, we drilled the first time, and we got a little bit of water, and we thought, just enough for a well. Unfortunately, however, that pocket of water dried up on us. That doesn't happen very often, maybe one in a couple of hundred times. But it dried up, and the people got in touch with us, and we were able to say, okay, we'll come back again. We had contractors in the area. We sent them back, and they drilled another hole. And the people were thrilled just that people would come back, hadn't forgotten about them. And they came back, and we drilled again. But it was 300 foot deep and nothing but dust. A dry hole on the second attempt, and they thought, that's it, there's no water for us. But the pastor from the church came out, he got all the people together, and they prayed, and he took the opportunity to share about God's love with those people. And the church all came out, and they held a prayer meeting that night, and they said they would pray for water, and we said, okay, we'll have the contractors try one more time. We selected a new site. And at the new site, the third site, the third attempt, the Lord provided our best well of the year. 30 cubic meters per hour. That is enough to probably supply most of Lisburn with their drinking water. This was a huge well, a huge flow of water, more than we could have ever hoped for or asked for, more than we need. And our Lord provided in abundance. And now we have a drilling contractor who, he's just there to make money. That drilling contractor didn't want to know. Every time the people prayed, he stood with his back to the people, and his team just sort of stood and didn't know what to do as the pastor called all the people to pray before they would start to drill. Now, the man, they call him the chef de chantier, the guy in charge of the drilling crew, he stops everybody when they're about to drill, and he gets the pastor and he calls everybody in and he tells them all, pray, get praying. So this man that turned his back is now, he's hearing the gospel as he goes round. You know, so just mention that, by the way, that it's an encouragement to me also that sometimes the Lord is working in hearts and lives and in minds and with people that maybe we didn't even think or plan to try and reach. But God's ways and his plans are better and higher than ours. I just pray that wherever we go and however we work, that we would see people come to Christ. This is where we have drilled. These blue dots represent the areas where we've drilled in Burkina Faso. You can see that we've been in some difficult areas. We've actually been asked to leave, our contractors have been asked to leave certain areas because military are conducting operations and it's not safe to be there. That happened to us twice this year. And I mention those things just to say thank you to you for your prayers. We remain in contact with the security services in every area we work in. They know we're there, and if we need to leave, they advise us. But we're not putting our trust in those security forces. We're not putting our trust in our ability to make decisions. Our trust is in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we pray that he gives us wisdom to make good decisions and wise decisions as we serve. Some figures here, just since September 16, since that's where we started with those maps of the incidents, the Lord has blessed us with 104 wells. Those are wells that we've drilled with our own equipment, and that's from 117 holes, and that's a great success, and that's just, we want to give glory and praise to God for his blessing and his provision there. When we put that together with the contract work that's been done as well, the total goes up to 150 wells since September 16 from 189 holes, and at each of those sites the love of Christ is being shared with many. This year we set off, we didn't know what this year would look like for us. We weren't sure how much work we'd be able to do, where we'd be able to work, but the Lord provided in amazing ways as we've started to work with contractors and keep drilling ourselves. This last season, the Lord allowed us to be part of providing 72 wells. Our best year before that was 43 wells. So in the most difficult of times, in the most challenging of times for us operating in Burkina, the Lord has blessed and encouraged us and rewarded the faithful service of his people with 72 great wells this last year, and many people hearing the gospel, and many coming to saving faith in Christ. Looking forward, we're hoping to do a bit of work in Ivory Coast. We're planning to do 10 wells supporting church planting activity in Ivory Coast. That's the country to the south of Burkina, southwest. We've been working already. I've been working on developing a field base there. What that is, it's a piece of land, 100 metres by 100 metres, full of bush, very thick bush. We've been clearing that, putting a wall up around it, getting it ready to receive various materials. We've sent a container down already to that site. There's the empty container being delivered to site. And we're hoping with this bit of work in Ivory Coast in January and February, March of next year, Lord willing, to be able to maybe bring some volunteers out to keep the teams aspect of our ministry going when we can't do that in Burkina Faso at the moment. So there you have a team. You might recognise one or two of those faces. He looks pretty rough in the front row there, and it used to be a white t-shirt. He's looking after me at lunch today, so I'll not say anything nasty. That's it. And I think there he is again with his hat on, his shades, and another one of your members helping to pour out our drinking water. And that's Tim and Keith there. So Lord willing, we'll be able to do some teamwork again in Ivory Coast. So partner missions that we've been able to work with, Sheltering Wings, who Mike and Amy worked with, and Amy still works with, then the Christian Missionary Alliance, SIM, the Evangelical Association of Churches, WEC, and many others we've been able to work with, but the requests and the need still growing, with over 400 requests on in our files. Please pray for security for our workers, for these men that are going out to these remote areas to move this work forward and into places where we cannot go. Pray for them, and pray for the provision of the equipment that we need as well to move that work forward. Ivory Coast, it was seemed strange to be going back there in a sense for a longer period, because it was 20 years ago we ran away from Ivory Coast because of civil war, and now we're potentially going back there to do more work and running away from Burkina a little bit. We hope to carry our work forward and plan to carry our work forward in Burkina, but also to extend into Ivory Coast now. Difficult areas to get to often, and reaching the unreached. They're unreached for a reason. It's difficult to get into these areas sometimes. We ask you to pray for us as we endeavour to return. It's my family. I know many of you have been praying for my family, and I really want to this morning just thank you for your prayers and for your thoughts for my family. And they're growing up now. My son has been out working with me on the rig. At times he's, I know you're going to say that's not very tall really, but he's the same height as me now. He'll be looking down on me very shortly. My wife Louise will hopefully, Lord willing, continue to homeschool our girls. But my family, we're moving back to, we've just relocated in a sense on Wednesday there, arrived back to Northern Ireland. And we plan as a family to be based in Northern Ireland for the next couple of years. Joshua's, Lord willing, going to Campbell, where my brother teaches as well. And so if you know anybody at Campbell, tell them to look out for Joshua Collier and try and make him feel welcome. We'd appreciate that. But he's starting into his GCSEs this year. And so my family will be based here, and I'll be coming and going a lot from here to Burkina and here to Ivory Coast to keep moving the work forward, Lord willing. So maybe we'll see you around a little bit more. If you see us out and about, I intend to avail of the numerous coffee shops that are now available in Northern Ireland. We don't have those in Burkina, so I have a personal agenda to try and tour them all. If you see us out and about, please say hello. And please pray for me as I travel backwards and forwards from Burkina. September, I'll be heading back out to try and move the work forward. Here's the family on the drilling rig, and I've enjoyed Joshua being a little bit older and helping with the work on the rig. Please pray for them as they adapt to life here. For Anna in particular, our youngest, Northern Ireland's just been a summer holiday destination for her life, and it's going to be strange and difficult for her to settle back in here. Pray that that would go smoothly. They miss their animals, they miss their friends, they miss life already in Burkina. This doesn't happen too often in Burkina, but when it does, it's wonderful for them. That's all the expat young people together in a youth group. Two of my children are in there, and they have great friends there from all over the world, and they will miss their friends. So pray they'll make friends quickly with others here. Here's just a couple of shots of when we do the bring your kids to work day on the drilling rig. And this is water from a well, and the kids decided it's coming out as we're drilling to dig a pit, and they're in there trying to get their African mud spa, I think it is. And here's my girl Rachel and Anna and some of their friends. That's me up there just blasting some water for them to cool off from a well. And here's Joshua on the left there, helping me to put a pump in at one of the sites. And there they are with a pastor at that was a day they spent with the youth doing a feeding program, helping some people, providing them with grain. If you take nothing else away this morning, please just remember that you have prayed for us, and God has heard and answered those prayers. Our God is a faithful God, and you prayed for my family and schooling, and the Lord provided. You prayed for safety and for health for our family as we worked and served in Burkina in difficult days and will continue to be difficult days, and the Lord answered those prayers. For success in drilling, you prayed for that, and the Lord has really blessed. And those 72 wells, that's God's doing. I want to give praise and glory to him for that. And for villages to be ready to receive Christ, you prayed for that, and many have heard and many have accepted Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Looking forward, please keep praying. Keep praying that we would be able to, even with terrorists and extremists trying to trouble many areas and parts of Burkina, we want to send the message of Jesus Christ into these areas. Please pray as we continue to reach out. Please pray for the drilling that we've planned moving forward in Ivory Coast and in Burkina, for my family as they settle in, for my brothers in Burkina still, our national workers as they're surveying and following drilling contractors, and for the field base that we hope to establish in Ivory Coast, that would go smoothly. Thank you for your faithfulness. You've prayed for us since Anna looked like that, and that's her now. Thank you for standing faithfully with us and praying faithfully. Thank you. God bless you, and thank you for having me along this morning. Amen.